when the saints go marching in.
I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city.
Sister Milka, is she coming? She's going to sing for us today.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up.
Brother Bob, if you'll come. We're going to try to help him sing this. We don't mess it up. So. The sun, it will never go down in that city.
But it will never go down in that city. No, the sun, it will never go down. Oh, the flowers are blooming. Shouting, I do. sun, it will never go down. Oh, I feel like shouting sometimes.
Hearing the word, aren't you? Let's all stand. We'll change the order of the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. To see you. Yes, I want to see you.
And how? See him, don't you? I think this is the hour that we'll be able to see him. Amen. Above all hours and all days. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody here. Just remember now the Bible study, February the 3rd. Keep that in your mind. And remember the fellowship meeting will be here in March on the 19th, the third Saturday in March. And Brother William Borlevin will be the speaker for the Saturday night, Sunday morning. So remember that. Amen. We got a little testimony, but we'll wait until we pray, and then have Brother Danny's got something he wants to say, and then we'll do that. But we'll just do it. So if you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to where we've been at in Ephesians, and then we'll turn today to Galatians 3. Ephesians and Galatians 3. The Lord willing, Wade will be ministering Wednesday if he ain't going to be gone. I know he is for the weekend, so we want to work him before he leaves. And also remember, tomorrow he will be able to qualify for senior citizen. Tuesday. Well, anyhow, okay. It'll be, you know, he'll be able to qualify for that 55.
56.
Oh, he's already qualified. Okay. That makes us older, Nanny. Wow. Yeah, it's getting old. But just, you know, I know that the Lord is, he's been good to us to bring us all to a life and doing right. Amen. So if you'd like to turn there to Ephesians and Galatians. Any other announcements? I generally miss something, but just keep remembering the Thomas family there in the loss of the niece and things. Remember them and remember all of these others that are sick among us and all. Remember Sister Peggy Gibby, they said something that she was having trouble, so remember her also. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and love unto us, and thank you for Calvary. Thank you for loving us, Father, and we ask you that you would just have your way with each one of us and that your love, Lord, could be extended to us and then not only to us but through us down to others in life. because that's what our goal is in our thoughts. We ask you to just come, Lord, this afternoon and open our hearts that we may speak your word and just let you come and have the way with all of us. Forgive our sins. We know that we fail you, Lord, but we know that you've never failed us. So just have your way. Let it be you, Lord. Remember these that are sick. Remember Sister Gibby there, Lord, and touch her and all the things. And just let your grace be sufficient for every need. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll read our scripture then. Brother Danny has a word for us this afternoon. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed were in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one were now all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now everything, heaven, earth, whatever it be, it's in Christ. All right? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. For how long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. May I say, unto the place that these bodies are redeemed, full redemption is made manifest, goes clean into the future home. Can we say it that way? All right, now we want to go to Galatians. All right, first. Be 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed once were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. Abraham had a lot of children, right? A lot of descendants, but it didn't work that way. But as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing. Come on, Brother Dan.
Hey, everybody. Tuesday, I wasn't feeling well when George picked me up. I told her something wrong. I didn't. All right. It's not uncommon for me to get up 3, 4, 5 times a night, go to the bathroom, and about 1 o'clock, I just sit straight up just like that. And I don't do that. My reflexes are not what they used to be. And I was out of breath. Thought, well, you know, I just sit up too quick. When I get up, I go into the bathroom and I come back and I'm still hurting. And 2 o'clock, I was in a mess. I mean, I was short of breath, couldn't breathe. where's Joyce? She's over. But anyway, at some point in time in the last 9 years this month, I'm sure I've been aggravated because I wake up. You know, I don't sleep all night anymore. And I'm sure I've been a little irritated about waking up for no reason, just wake up, or wake up hurting, right, me wanting to get a good night's sleep. Right. Right. Oh, that hurts. But I'm not going to be that way anymore. If you wake up in the middle of the night, be thankful that he woke you up.
Right, right.
Because if I hadn't woke up, maybe that helped me get my breath. I don't know. But just be thankful. I mean, these little waking up in the middle of the night means as much as waking up in the morning when you get up. And anyway, when they got me to the doctor, you know, later on in the morning, the heart never entered my mind. You know, that's no problem.
Right.
However, the diaphragm, you know, that didn't enter my mind. Because that's one of the symptoms is you can't breathe.
Right.
And they told me I had a blood clot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, but it was multiple blood clots. So Brother Dale yesterday, it don't seem like I do anything halfway, you know. Yeah. But be thankful that we have a God that's going to take care of us.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you all of y'all for your prayers.
Yeah.
If we left anybody out, we didn't call anybody that I know of. Along about noon, we don't know how people found out. Along about noon, everybody was calling, texting. But every one of y'all is just as important to me. There's no up here and down here with nobody in this church with me. But be thankful for everything that he does for you. And look at everything he does for you. I mean, just like setting me up. I hadn't done that in 9 years. And, I mean, it hurt to do that.
Sure.
But I didn't know why. But I found out why.
Yeah.
Which is, just be observant.
Mm.
Take time to look at everything that happens to you.
Right.
And happens for you.
Right.
Because he's on your side.
Amen.
I mean, Lord, thank you for waking me up and letting me know that there was something wrong. Because, you know, if I hadn't set up, that could have been it. I mean, just that serious. So, anyway, I won't take no more time. But I appreciate your prayers and pray for me.
Amen.
Don't stop.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me.
That's right.
Amen and amen and amen. He knows how to bring it into the place it needs to be. So that's, you know, I like the way Danny is. He doesn't give up. Oh, I'm not on. Okay. Now we got it. He doesn't give up. He always struggles on. And we've hunted together, we've fished together, and everything else, but he don't give up. And the Lord must have some reason for that boy to be here, because maybe it's to keep the insurance companies up, or the hospitals or something. But anyhow, they've done a good job on that, because he's surely been around and doing it. But we just appreciate the Lord for taking care of him and being around. Okay? All right. Now, let's try to get into our thought for this afternoon, because I'm going to try to do it in a little way of, you know, and then we'll have maybe one more service. And that's why I'm moving Wade into Wednesday, so I can kind of move on into the weekend, but next weekend, at least in the afternoon, we will have questions and answers about what I've been speaking on, and I want to, you know, to hear your comments and things, because we've evidently stirred up the devil pretty good, because there's a good tale out now that Brother Dale had took Joe and Brother Bob and Brother Aaron into the office about what I've been preaching on. Well, I don't think nobody around here knows anything about that. You know, I don't think so, because I know I don't. But it's all right. Like I said the other day when I was sitting there on the thing and thinking about it with Danny, too. You know, I mean, there's one thing about it. He's made the devil mad at him, so that's good. I was sitting there on the side of the couch the other night, just hurting like crazy, and started laughing like everything. And I said, well, at least I have stirred the devil up. So maybe I've preached enough to stir him up, you know. All right. But listen, what I want to do is read some quotes. I'm not going to read them now. They'll be on the Internet so that the people will have them. I'm going to just more or less quote some things. And then, you know, back up and preach throughout what we've been talking about. All right? Now, Brother Branham says, 154 Church Age Book, it's not the cursed person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It's the word or seed. All right? He says on 152 of the Church Age Book, you did not become seed by the new birth. You were seed, therefore you could be born again. Okay? Now, let me say it this way. On paragraph 28, Christ is revealed in his own word. Brother Branham said that we were in him in the beginning. And he said we were in germ form. Right. He says on 217, paragraph 217, and north at not, said you started back there as a seed and worked your way down. On paragraph 79, lean not to thine own understanding. He says God is not complete without you. Because you're part of him. Yeah. Power Transformation, 1965, paragraph 293. The germ of your life, is an attribute of God, which was his thought. Yeah. Paragraph 48 of the God who is rich in mercy. You were always the seed. It was in you always. Hmm? On who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 68. Brother Brown says, he came and lived in that theophany, is what he's talking about. He said, but we bypassed theophany. Paragraph 70. He said, we bypassed the theophany to become to the word. And you bypass that theophany. Paragraph 79 of who is this Melchizedek? He said, we bypass the theophany, come straight from God, the attribute, so we could be tested. All right? I believe all the things Brother Branham has said when he talks about you always was eternal. I believe that. But I believe that it is not you as a person, as a human being, as things like that. So then it would have to be a part of God. Because it can't be you. All right? As a human being, as a mortal, as things. It can't be. I don't believe in that pre-existence. I believe in pre-existence of eternal life. Right? And that's why I hammer it real hard that if you say, well, I come here with eternal life. Then you say, I have a quote. Well, all right. The Bible says to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's a scripture. Right? But what's wrong with it? Nothing wrong with the scripture. It's our understanding of those things. All right? Let's take a little journey this afternoon and just back up and think about it. There's a time that God existed alone, and that's as far back as we can go. Brother Branham would say it like this, and that's, you've got to have a revelation to understand it. He'd say, in the beginning, before the eternal. And that's a direct quote. In the beginning, before the eternal. Now, that means he's went back a long ways further than our thoughts of the word eternal or self-existing. All right? He said on Christ the Mystery, he says, let's go back into the back part of God's mind and see and watch how it's unfolded itself down to this present hour that we're living. Because you see, him standing there, as far as God is concerned, it has been revealed or put in his word and going on. But as far as he is concerned, that's as far as he could go. That's what you mean when you say how it's unfolded it down to where we are now. That's why I say it's unfolded itself down to where we are now.
Right. Yep.
All right? And that would be to the point. All right? Now, we don't believe in trinities. We don't believe in those things. We believe that God condescended down to you and I to reveal himself to us according to Christ the Mystery. And in doing that, then he would show his plan and his purpose. And what was his plan and purpose? Not to just, now listen to the wording, not to just be a healer, not to just be a savior, not to just be those things, but it would be for him and his whole being to come into being of what he was. And then the prophet would say, if you wasn't back there, you'll never be there. He said, if you wasn't in that word, you'll never be a part of that word. He said, if your name wasn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, he said, it'll never be written. All right. So a lot of things that he has stated that we believe. But I believe it's time to follow that to a line to where we can understand.
Yes.
All right. Now, my thought is this, and it's titled this way. How you, princess, the seed comes into being. All right. And we talk about the seed. And yet Brother Branham said it was put there before the foundation of the world. All right. Then if it was put there before the foundation of the world, where was it put? You wasn't back there in body. You wasn't back there as spirit. Wasn't back there as a soul. Now he'll call it souls of God. And he said you wasn't nothing. He was only in the mind of God.
That's right.
Right? So now let's watch the journey. Brother Brown says on, who is this, Melchizedek, I'm pretty sure it is, that this ever seed of Abraham would take the same journey. Who is this, Melchizedek? You know what Abraham done? Abraham come into the world as a being. As a person, like anybody else. And all at once, God crossed his path. And you know what he done? He met the Word. He met the Word. He met him many times in his journey. And one day, the Word was made so much manifest in his life until he changed his body back to a young man. Changed Sarah back to a young woman. All right? Now, showing that one day there's going to be somebody reach that position. So we're going to take the same journey Abraham did. That's the only thing that I ask you. Have you ever met God? Yeah. And I don't mean you got to meet him the way I've met him. You don't have to meet him the way Brother Branham met him, because that's individuals and their doings. Nobody has to be the same way. We're all different, and we're parts of the body of Christ. So if he's not complete without you, then you know what? You ain't complete without me. So I got my part, you got your part. So we just have to all be our part. But we know the story that he started as self-existing as he was condescending. And it was the same God in another form. That as the prophet would say, he amorphied himself or changed his form, and he came into what we would call word form to create. He would even be so much to cover that as to be into Logos, the theophany, the things, the great Elohim, the self-existing, and he would get over in John 1, and he would read it like this: in the beginning was Elohim, Elohim was with Elohim, and Elohim was Elohim, and Elohim was made flesh and dwelt among us. The self-existing, the one true and living God. All right, when he stepped over into another form to become the Word, did that mean everything he was stepped over? That's what we think. All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ poured into the church. That's the prophet's words. And I believe that. But now what are you going to do with the quote that where he says that there is a message of cheer to be given to us down through the endless ages after this life is over? So that means there must be more of God to be made known. Right? That's my whole point. Did he step over there and leave a vacuum, a hole, an empty space? Then as he condescends, how about where that he can stand here and communicate back with his Father and not make two? Because he simply changed his form. He became the Word to create. All right? He became that theophany, Logos. The prophet would call it Son of God. Not meaning a son that had a beginning, because that word son there has no beginning. That form he stepped over into Word is eternal. The flesh coming to earth is your part that's not eternal. But the God that come down in the condescending in the beginning, the same God that stood back there and said, let there be, was the same God that stood on earth. Just in another form. To where he could reveal himself. In the revealing of God and the condescending, he comes to the word form, you know, comes to the Word. And as he does, he begins to create. He created a world. He created all the things. He created what had to be. Last, he created man. And he made man first in his own image. The Genesis 1 man. Then he made the Genesis 2 man and put him in flesh. All right? Then we as mankind started our journey on this earth. But was you listening to what he said? He said, God is not complete without you because you're a part of God. Amen. What is it about you that's part of God? Certainly not our bodies and our spirits and that part. It's the being, the person that you are, the soul, as we use the word, the part that you are. You are a being. You're a person. He said, you've never seen me. He said, you've seen the body I inhabit. He said, because inside of me is something that can't be seen. All right. We know then that the difference between his coming and my coming, your coming, was the fact that he could become a theophany word body.
That's right.
Yep. And create from that. The Logos, the great words we use. Simple terminology. He became the Word.
Yes.
Not became the Word like he wasn't the Word.
Right.
We've been through that. God never gained attributes.
Right.
Every attribute that he's ever had, he's always had it.
Right.
Now, displaying the attribute is a different situation.
Right.
But he always was a healer. He always was a Savior. You said, but there wasn't nothing back there to be healed. You're not listening. He was eternal. And he said his attributes are eternal and part of him. And he said, if you wasn't an attribute back there, you never will be one. All right. So then, can we follow ourselves down as he's coming? He stepped out there in word. A theophany is a word body. Because that's the way he describes it, and who it is, Melchizedek. Right. Now, where were we at if we wasn't people? If we wasn't back there as people, why would a prophet talk about us of being back there?
Right.
There must have been something about us that was back there.
Right.
And there's only one part of us that was back there, and that would be the part that would be eternal now.
Right.
So now, what is eternal now? It's not your body that's eternal.
Right.
It's not your spirit that's eternal.
Amen.
And your soul is not eternal unless it has the life of God.
Amen.
Right. So then that eternal always was eternal.
Amen.
You remember what I said this morning? That a prophet could speak in so great a present tense form until he brought everything from there and back there and brought it right here. To him it was over with. Why? Because God told him it's over with. We haven't got on down in Ephesians to where it talks about, I believe it's in Ephesians, isn't it? We're talking about the one that he justified. He is already glorified. Well, you know what? I look around, I don't see much glorification. You know what? I don't think wrinkles glorifies him. You know, a lot of people, I remember Brother Moat saying one time, he said, somebody said, you know, said, I'm sick for the glory of the Lord. Well, he said he listened long enough till the man finally shut up, you know, because he's talking about how he's sick for the glory of the Lord. He said, why don't you just cut one of your arms off where you can give him more glory? Well, why not cut them both off? For the glory of the Lord. So it ain't for the glory of the Lord if you're sick. It's for the glory of the Lord when you're healed. That glorifies God. Right? All right? So then Brother Branham said, we bypass the theophany. Said, we come to flesh to be tempted. He said, had we been that away, come that away, he said, we couldn't have been tempted. Right? He said, because he couldn't be tempted. You know, Jesus Christ couldn't be tempted. Now, we know they tried questioning him, tempting him, and trying to catch him in this, that, and the other. But the man inside of there is when you're talking about.
Right.
Not the flesh man out there they was attacking all the time. All right? But you see, he said, we bypass. Why do we bypass? It's not a bypass like 285 going around Atlanta. I never have had that thought. You know, it's like you're coming up to something that's there and you go around it. Well, just remember, it's standing there. I can't see that the way the prophet is saying it. To me, the word would be better. I don't mean to correct him. I'm saying for you and I to understand. He said it right. If we never come the way Jesus Christ came. Is that sensible? We never came the way he came. He came theophany, word, body, flesh, standing there to create. Mm-hmm. That same man stood on earth one day, and John 1 says he was a creator. Hebrews 1 says he was a creator. Colossians 1 said he was a creator. And Ephesians 3 and 9 said he was a creator. Who? That's why Peter, like I emphasized to you, Peter looked at it. Jesus said, who do man say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter never caught that revelation because it wasn't time. But what did he say? He said, thou art the Christ. Oh, the same Christ that was the creator. Do you realize he was recognizing Jesus as being the creator? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You better believe on one thing for sure, he had a revelation because he wouldn't have said it like that. All right. So coming down as we have tried in this series to descend into foreknowledges, and I mean coming from foreknowledge down into predestinations and things. See, then there was a part of you if you have eternal life. Now I'm saying that directly because I mean it. If you have eternal life now, there was a part of you that was back there before the world. What was it? Eternal life. Not us as people. A part of God. When he was standing there, now listen to why Brother Brandon would say it. He said, he was the Word. He said, if you wasn't part of that Word, he said, you never will be. Right? Now what's he meaning? Part of what Word? So you can see that when he come into the situation, or what do you call it, the amorphy, into the point of being the Word to create, we had to be in him. Come on, or your prophet's wrong. Because he said, if you wasn't in that Word, you never would be in that Word. So we was part of that Word. But we wasn't there as little people running around. You know, little people running around in Jesus. No, that's back before Jesus, the flesh, ever come into being. This is back when God dwelt alone. Just because he created angels and they worshiped him, that never still made him anything but Elohim. Because those angels were not a part of him. They were a creation from him. And no, we're not talking about, I know the difference, so somebody won't run their smart ideas. I know the part where you're talking about cherubims and seraphims. I've preached on it. You make that seraphim anything other than the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you got trouble, because that seraphim is what's keeping you clean. So I know the story, okay? I can divide it. I'm not trying to show how smart, but stop that smart aleck from thinking. To where you'll say, hey, well, at least he knows that much. All right, listen with me. This is why I believe we never came. We as people, we're not back there. That's why we read Ephesians over and over. To where you got to come to salvation here on earth. Why? Because we never came right to start with. But he knew we wasn't going to come right. Now you tell me he didn't, and I'd say, well, your God's your peanut brain. He knew. But see, everybody was not back there as a part of God. Only his offspring. Only his children. His offspring. Now, did you choose your children? No, they're part of you. And you know what? Wade was in me, right? You know what? I was in my daddy. You know what? He was in his daddy. Is that not just plain germanology speaking, or what are you going to call it? Coming down of a germ from one to the other? All right. So you see, the prophet, when he said, "You always was eternal," he's exactly right. If you have eternal life. Now look at all the quotes. Read the quotes where it says you always was eternal. Read right above and below it and see if he doesn't say that. If you have eternal life. If you have eternal life today, that eternal life was always eternal. Never had a beginning, never has an ending. It was a part of God. So truly we are his offspring. Not that he chose us to be his children. We've read it 34 times. We were chosen in him. Come on, then he didn't choose us as to save a group and reject another group. So the word choosing there is deceptive in the point of human brains. It looks like he's picking. No, take it down to where he's at. We were chosen in Christ. That's what we read in Ephesians 34 times. We're talking about a God that had offspring. If he was going to have children, was he creating his children to just be children? No. They were a part of him. No man ever spake like this man spoke in our day. What about a time where he would say it like this? That God was the first of the creation. You ever noticed him saying that? God is the first of the creation. Well, when did he create? Who did he create? What did he come in? Well, the first person created, the second person created, the third. Oh, yeah. That's what we run out to be. All right. But you see, when he stood there in full word form, if we were a part of him, we stood there in him. Okay? Now it's easy that everybody wants the quotes. That when he died, we died with him. That when he walked the shores of Galilee, we walked with him. Well, why don't you back up? And see that when he stepped over into word form, you had to be in him. A part of him. What was it? The part of his own life. What is the offspring of God? It's not the devil's children that are made God's children. Come on. You remember the quote? You never become seed by the new birth. You were seed and thereby could be born again. Now I quote this one. It's laying right here in front of me. Who did the Spirit fall on the day of Pentecost? Sons of God. Daughters of God. Well, if that's who it was, what did he need the Holy Ghost for? In simple, plain language, the Holy Ghost then would transmit the life of God down into you and I by the new birth. Are you listening? So when he stood back there in theophany form, we didn't stand there with him. We were in him. Huh? He was all of it. But we were in him. And he's the Word. See, then it started down towards mankind, and you come through all of the creating of all things. And in Genesis 1:26, man, if that be, as the prophet said it was, a part of God, and even said that Eve was in Adam in theophany, and that Adam was lonely because part of him was still in theophany. That's in your Hebrew series. Come on. Right. So then there must not be but one eternal theophany. Yes, but you've done away with my thoughts. Because I've got my thoughts. My thoughts is where it said, if this earthly tabernacle word is all we have when waiting. I'll remind you what the Bible does say, too, there. He says that is eternal in the heavens. Well, now, do you have eternal life up in the heavens and you have eternal life down here? That ain't getting together to me. And remember, it's not there until you step over into it. It's not God setting a little cubicle aside up somewhere in heaven to leave something that can step into you when you die. Come remember, it's your soul that lives on after death, not your body and spirit. So then the prophet is right. He said, we bypassed. We never came into a full theophany body the way Jesus was standing there. But we was in Him. See, that's where you like to quote some things, but you won't quote it all. You like that we was in Him when He walked the shores of Galilee. Oh, I can just feel like it. I can just feel like I was back there in Him. Everybody, they'll go with that. But what about being in Him before the foundation of the world? What about being a part of God? When, come on, folks. Part is a what? We take a word's part. We speak in human language. Just remember, a part of God is God. If you want to make it a fingernail, a toenail, or whatever it is of God, it's eternal because it's part of God. So then, when He came, we came in Him. Now, where were we at? We were there in germ form. And He said, we as a seed, and worked our way down to where we are. Well, then why can't you believe that the eternal life that you have was in a part of God in the beginning? You see why it's so important to receive eternal life? It's not just a concept or a thought. It's the person of Jesus Christ. But come on, that's not a person standing inside of you that is big as you are.
That's right.
Come on, you hadn't thought of that? It's Jesus Christ in me. Where's He at? He's the eternal life that you have dwelling in you.
Right.
In your inner being, your soul.
Right.
Of what you really are.
Right.
Or else, what is it? But you see, then when He came on the shores of Galilee, when He came as a baby laying in the manger. See, that's where you don't understand one God. I ain't like the people of this message that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan and He finally received eternal life at the River Jordan. I got quotes from Brother Branham. But it's misdone and twisted. The man flesh never received any eternal life until after the resurrection. In the resurrection. So he's definitely not talking about that. But that eternal life that was dwelling in that man, that the Bible said that he was born what? Lord the Christ. So Peter was right when he said, thou art the Christ. You are Almighty God that created this world.
Amen.
But like I kept saying this morning, kept trying to tell you, even though Peter was making that great of a confession, it never gave him the new birth. He still had to go to Pentecost and receive the Holy Ghost to quicken that to him. To make it live the way it was supposed to be living. All right, now let's go into what I said this morning. So when Jesus came on earth, we were in Him.
Yep.
Do you need to quote? I mean, that's what your prophet said.
Right.
Where were we in Him? Well, we was a little dizzy. This don't make it genes and germs and toenails and fingernails. And the only way you could have been in Him when He come on the shores of Galilee was for Him, for that Christ that's inside of Him, as you're a part of that.
Right.
That's why Brother Branham would cover the Christ on great so much until he said, I couldn't understand how Moses could tell God a better way of doing something. He said, until I seen it was Christ.
Amen.
Who is it down through that Old Testament? Who is it that was fulfilling all of that through the Old Testament? Who was that when the three Hebrew children were cast into the furnace? And he never done nothing but burnt the latches off of their hands. And that king looked down in there and he said, didn't we throw three in? He said, there's four down there now. And he had a revelation. What did he say? He said, one of them is likened to the Son of God. Hey, come on. The guy had common sense. If you throw a man into a pit that's seven times hotter than it was, it's ever been head up, you know, and then it killed the ones that throwed them in, and then there are all three of them walking around, there's somebody else, I'd say, glory, hallelujah, that's got to be God. Ain't got no sense. I got a little common sense. Wouldn't you? All right, do you believe then?
Yes.
See, that back there, he was the Word.
Yes.
A full Word body. Moses saw it. The back part of a man. Right? But just remember, Moses could talk to him lip to ear, but he never saw him face to face. He saw the back because it wouldn't time. I'll tell you what I believe it was. I believe it was Jesus Christ, not Jesus the flesh. I believe it was the Christ. Right? The theophany. All right. So then we go back there and we find out that the eternal life you and I have was a part of him back there.
Amen.
And that's the way that I was back there.
Yes.
Not as a person, not as a being, not as a, but I was in him, which had not come forth.
Right.
Then when he walked the shores of Galilee, I was in him.
Yes.
Oh, but you know what everybody else wants to preach it. I come here with God in me. Now show me the Scripture. I'm showing you the Scripture that says in all the whole Bible and the prophets verifies if you was in him, you come here in him as a part of the eternal life that he had. But you see, that's where it's perverted. That's the Catholic Church. Instead, in God's stead, they say instead of God. And God's stead can be somebody standing in his place doing the work, you know, do it, preaching, whatever. But instead of God means that you're the God and he's not. All right. But when he walked the shores of Galilee, do you believe that because of the eternal life you have now, that you were a part of him?
Yes.
Do you need all of those quotes from the prophet? All right. Now then, how did that seed get here? He said we was back there as a seed and worked our way down. He said we was in him in germ form. You know what germ form is, don't you?
Yes.
You were in your daddy and your granddaddy and great-granddaddy. Germ form, but you couldn't see it.
Right?
You couldn't run back through that genealogies and pull it out and see it. You can only run back there through the blood and see it's the same DNA. You can't pull the gene out. But listen, Brother Branham made a statement then, because this one that walked the shores of Galilee was called the Son of Man. Was he called the Son of Man because he was a prophet? That's part of it. But that's not the whole story. He was the beginning of the creation of God, right? Brother Branham says, what? How did he begin? He said, in the womb of a virgin. He's the beginning of the creation of God. But you know what he goes on to say? And he says, and we're the continuation of that creation. That's a quote. You need it. We're a continuation of that creation. Mm-hmm. So when he walked the shores of Galilee, you were in him. Not his little jeans running around, not at all his little... Get off your carnality. It would have to be part of his own life. And his life was eternal. That's why I said a while ago, people in the message don't believe. They believe, and it's really a doctrine, that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan. Then he finally become God at the River Jordan. And then the Spirit left him and he died a man. Those are quotes. But what are you saying? Brother Brown said, no man ever died or could die like that man. Said he wasn't a man. He was God in flesh. Is that the scripture? God was in Christ reconciling the world and doing himself. Well, so God was in Christ. What? Meaning the God is Christ. So now you remember the statement I made this morning? Brother Brown said the only way that he could be God was to be the Son of Man. You never noticed that? The only way he could be God was to be the Son of Man. What? He created mankind. But that was not the man he wanted, right? Come on. This ain't the man God wanted. He wanted the one in his image. And he only created one man in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And that one man is Christ. Because he's eternal. A part of God. And always was eternal. But yet he's called a son. But he's not a son like a son that had a beginning. He's a son in the fact that he's an offspring. Human terminologies confuse us. All right. Now why would Brother Brown say the only way he could be God, the only way he could be Father was to be the Son of Man? Because in that Son of Man was all of his offspring. Where else are you going to put them? Where else are you going to put it? See, then there you were in him. Now I ask you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over. And I told you that if I only had those four books and you take the rest of my Bible away, I'm tickled to death. Because I can go all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the second coming of Jesus Christ over there where Paul, where they see Jesus and Moses and Elijah. I can go all the way to the sixth seal in Matthew 24. Well, you just didn't. You just don't. My understanding of the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. That's what your prophet said now. So you argue with him now. Don't argue with me about it. Don't come to me later. I'll get it on third pull. Don't come to me. Because I'll take you just like I did this morning. All of them parables all relate to the one thing, teaching you of the kingdom of God. So everything Brother Branham would say would teach you one thing. He said, what is that seventh seal? He said, that's his coming. A lot goes with it. But that's what he said. Well, how was it that Jesus never preached the seventh seal? He only preached six. Now that's what your prophet said. And John only wrote six on the Isle of Patmos. That's what your prophet said. Why didn't he say something about the seventh? Because he was the seventh. Did I hurt you, Boyd? Boyd jerked like everything. I'd hope in his revelation, itchy. I think his hand hurt him. The seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. It's what your prophet said. As I said, there's a lot goes with that now. That's no problem. But the text is, that's what it is. Well, Jesus didn't have to write about his coming. He was standing there. He was the God of glory. He was the one that could tell you what those seals were. Come here, I quote Brother Branham 45, cry, it's the rising of the sun. He is those seals. But why would he come Son of Man? Because it was always said, it was never God's original plan. Are you with me? Man chose for God to speak to man to him. It was never God's original plan. So he had to raise up prophets to speak. It was never God's original plan. His original plan was at the burning bush, even for them to be able, because Moses led them out to there. It was enough there. And they had a bush of their own if they'd have just stood there and listened to God, because he wanted to talk to them. And they wouldn't have it. And they said, let man speak, lest we die. You know what they're saying now? We don't want man to speak because it'll kill us. See, we chose the way it was to be. And said, God would raise up a prophet like unto me. Is that the words of Moses? The man who had been in the presence of Almighty God. So here's the prophets as they come down to bring God's word. Brother Branham never come to bring us anything that wasn't written in the Bible. I mean, if you believe that, I'll let you know up front, I don't believe it. Because you're adding to the word, and he said you can't do that. You remember, that's what they said, Brother Branham, with your ability, you could write a 23rd chapter of Revelation. He said they'd done that to try to trap him. He said, because you can't add to. He said it's got to be in the word. Things in the word that was not revealed or made known. All right, now maybe we'll go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for just a second. Why was he the Son of Man? And by being the Son of Man, he could be the Father the way he wanted to be. Because you see, in that Son of Man was the Word. That's what he was. The Word sowed the seed. The Son of Man is the only sower of the seed. Come on, listen. I know how to quote. I know where Brother Ram says the things. I know where he says that the Son of God is the sower of the seed. I know. I don't worry about the message. Just listen. But the Son of Man is the only one listed in the Bible that sowed the seed. And right now, he's still sowing the seed. Spoken unto us by the prophets, but said now through his Son. Or by his Son. See, then you and I was in him when he walked the shores of Galilee. And he began to speak the word. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed seed. It's like unto this. It's like unto that. What's he doing? He's sowing you and I into being. I thought we believed the kingdom of God was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. He's sowing us into being. He's speaking us into existence. Who? His own children. Come on, I can quote too. Brother Branham said back there that he finished a physical creation. I know the message. Come on. Not good enough, but I know a little bit. Maybe enough to just get me in trouble, but I do know a little bit. But listen, if we were in him, then he had to bring forth his family. Right? And you know, to bring forth your family, it's kind of necessary. I know they got a lot of things going on today. But they still can't bypass getting a baby here by a woman. You know, I mean, I never found where they put seed in a man and he's a half pregnant man or three quarters pregnant or anything else. It's got to be the woman. You know, that's why I like it that way. You know what Adam was waiting on in the garden? Somebody laughed and said something. I didn't get it. You know what Adam was waiting on in the garden? Eve. Right? He was waiting on Eve. See, with Eve, he would have had the ability to reproduce himself. May I quote Brother Branham? The seed comes through the body. He said, even though the Ethiopian eunuch had been up there and been to all the meetings and things, but said the seed come through the body. And he said one time there in the book of Acts, you remember, where that they were trying to get the Holy Ghost to come on them, and they couldn't get the Holy Ghost to come on them. But these were people that supposed to have the seed in the body. They were trying to get the Holy Ghost to come. They couldn't do it. They called for Peter, which one it was, to come down. He said a few words, the Holy Ghost fell. The seed comes through the body. Now, come on. Jesus Christ never had no intercourse with some woman to bring it down. He spoke it into existence. He said, this is where it's going to be. He said, down through time, I will have my children, and they will be the word of the hour, the age that they're living. They will be my seed made manifest. That way I believe in a seed. And I believe by representation from predestination that God looked down through this floor and he saw where that seed would fall. Is that the quote? And he says about the little woman at the well. When he said, how could that seed work its way down into that? He said, I don't know. Can't explain it. But said it did. See, he had to sow us into being. That's why he was the Son of Man. The church ages never added anything to the Bible. That's where you're thinking. You better pull your thinking back and listen. The New Testament is not an addition. It is the Old Testament brought into manifestation in a group of people because it had already been spoken back there. That Son of Man come all the way down through that Old Testament speaking his word through the prophets, but then one day he himself stood here to bring his family forth. That's how we're his offspring. We're not a son of Jesus that was a son of God. Come on, that's grandchildren. We don't believe that. Well, that's what you sound like. You said, no, that ain't what I'm saying. He was not just a son. He was God in flesh, called a son. The same way that one back there was not a son of God when the prophet would call him that. Back before the foundation of the world. He's not talking about a son that could have a beginning. Come on, folks. I thought we believed the Bible. You know that Scofield Bible? In his reference, he's talking about the one that was back there. And he called it the Son of God. He must have known what he's talking about. But yet he was a Trinitarian. He couldn't get it all figured out. Maybe that's where Brother Branham picked up the thought from to where he could bring it out. But I don't believe. I believe he got it from God. Irregardless of where he picked it up from. But you understand? He sowed you into being. So when the day came that you received eternal life, that was that word that he sowed, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, sower of the seed, the children of the kingdom. But you see, we want to get hung up like he was this morning when I brought that out. where the parable of the sower of the seed. And now he sowed some, sure, it fell on stony ground and back just mocked it away. It wasn't worth nothing. But the next stage was it sprang up on a rock. But a random said, I gave you the quote, he said it had enough dust there. Because remember, it says the seed sprang up. There's your new birth. For it to spring up to life. You say, yeah, but what happened? Brother Brown said, that's Baptists, Methodists, and thanks, Catholics. That after you was converted, he said, then they took it away from you and killed you. You denominated and died. But you see, we know all about it. We don't, you know, yeah, I know what you think. Because that's what I used to think. I didn't think none of them was born again until they got down to the 30, 60, and 100. 30, 60, 100 stature of perfect man. The Bible said that they had nothing to bring them to perfection. We read it this morning. We read it from the, is it Matthew or the Luke? One of the two, it said there was nothing to bring them to perfection. When those two shoots sprung up, they had to be germinated to life to spring up. That's why the other parable, what it talks about, the blade coming forth, the stalk, the husk, the shucks, and the thing. You know that every one of them was God's move when they were green? It's only when they dried up and died did they become a denomination. Maybe we need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a little bit more. You won't find it in Greer's Almanac. No. But you see, he sowed us. Now, what have we talked about the new birth? Now, when I said sowed, that doesn't mean sowed out. He spoke the word. The word is the seed. We must take that word and let that word become germinated in us by believing it. That's not your new birth. But then we've got to hold on to it as the disciples did for 3.5 years. And then let God come by the Holy Ghost and make that alive to produce the corn that you planted. Luther come up with 2 shoots. But he had life. Yep. Wesley come up and say the stalk. But he had life. Amen. Pentecost come up as the husk and the shucks and the thing. But you know what? While they were green, they had life.
That's right.
And you know what? Another thing. Don't go cut it down just because that the corn has started turning brown. Don't cut the stalk down. Why? Because that's the parable of the sower of the seed. The tares that they sowed among them, not wheat seed, tares. They were quickened a year before as to be in tares. Leave them alone, he says, until the end, and God will separate it. He said, lest you pull up the wheat with the tares. Oh, we're good. They don't believe. They don't believe. They don't believe. You don't remember when you didn't believe?
Yes.
Bless God, I've been in 40 years, 50 years. Praise the Lord. Has it been made alive? Can I quote Paul? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you heard of the message? Is that misquoting Paul? Or is that what he said? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you received the present day truth? Was that what he was saying? Well, don't look at me if I quoted that way and said he believed the message. It's what a brother years ago that used to talk about that you didn't have the Holy Ghost like you did in the apostles and things. And he asked me one day, he said, Brother Dale, what do you think's wrong with the people? I said, I'm going to answer you honestly. I said, I don't think a lot of people in this message got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There wouldn't be so mass confusion with the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't have all these garbage can doctrines with the Holy Ghost. Are you saying they're lost? No, I didn't say that. God's one's taking care of it. You see, church, you then, what we were talking about this morning, what? You hear the word. The little woman heard the word from somebody. As I said, Mary heard from her mother, Isaiah 9:6. Well, when the angel come to Mary, she said, well, you know what? That's what Mama said. And that was enough of life to produce the body of Jesus Christ. But it never gave her the new birth. Can I quote Brother Branham? Said she had to pull up in the upper room. Said, you thank your mother of God. Said she had to pull up in the upper room to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you'll get into where Brother Branham, see, I could quote him, but I was looking at some things, and I've got them on my notes at home. And you quote Brother Branham, you just quote it because you got some quote. You're no different than anybody else. You know that Brother Branham said, Mary was not the seed. Masterpiece, seed not ever with a shuck. You don't hear me saying, Mary wasn't seed. Because that's not what Brother Ryan's talking about. He's talking about the seed in the building and coming up and one over the other. And that Jesus was the seed that was in Mary. He ain't talking about that you come here with a seed in you. He's explaining something. But do you follow me? How you, the seed, comes into being. So when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he preached Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything else come to pass because of that. There's the seed of the entire word in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's the church ages sowed. There's the things that would come forth. Because it would be necessary for that to happen. The seed would be brought forth. And then what age that you hear it, for the age you're living, and you say, hey, you know what, that's nothing but the truth. Then God can make that alive to you. There's your new birth. The birth of the word. That you took it and you held it. Are you following me? One more time. He was self-existing. If we wasn't back there in him, in eternal life, we'll never be in eternal life. If we wasn't back there in the Word, you'll never be the Word. Where were we? The prophet said, germ form. Where were we? He said, you was a seed that worked your way down to where you are. See, that way I believe in a seed in you. But it's not a seed like a natural thing. The alive word, the word germinated, comes to a seed form. You go out and you take that bean in the hand, a corn. You say, I've got corn. You know what? You got the potential. The only thing you need to do is plant it. And I love the way Prophet explains that. He said, you don't plant your corn. He said, go back out there 3 days later and dig it up and look at it. And he put it back down the ground. You go 3 or 4 days. He said, you'll kill it. He said, leave it to the moisture. The Son of Man is the only sower of the seed. The Brother Branham never come to add anything to the word. He come to bring a restoration. Not a reformation. But I told that brother the other night when he talking about all that car, you know, how he got that car and he just reached up under the hood and just jerked everything off and throwed it away. And then he called a half a dozen other people to try to get it put back together. All I said was one thing. I said, brother, we don't believe in reformation. We believe in restoration. I'm not a mechanic, but I do know how to change plug wires. One at a time. You know what? If a firing order's right to start with, I ain't got to worry about the firing order. Right? Reformation is worrying about whether we're going to make it or not. Restoration is bringing back the original. If the car was original, just put it back like it was. It'll run. The Word of God is the original. What did the prophet say? He said, how many gods do we have? He said, one God. How many gods did Israel have? He said, one God. He said, how many gods did the bride have? He said, one God. But God's not complete without you. You know what? It wasn't because we're so good. He's not complete without us because why? Because I have part of his life. Called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Not just an anointing on a spirit, but a word made alive in the hearts of an individual. How much more simpler can a new birth be taught? Than that away, the eternal life you have always was eternal. Then you wasn't saved on any certain day. That's God looking at it. Because you always were saved. You know why? Because you're always part of the Word. But you know what? Predestination deals with human terminologies and life upon earth. So God looked down through time and knew who would accept him as Savior and who wouldn't. You know what the prophet said? He had it waiting on you. I'm not one to try to, I believe it takes the entire message. I'm not one of those that says that Brother Branham was wrong before the seal and right after the seal. But I would invite you to do one thing. I would invite you to just go back to about 1960, after the seals. I'd invite you to listen to seals because that would be the line. But if you just start, some of you ask me, tell me, what should I do? Well, why don't you just get you one of those tapes that's got everything in it and just put it in the thing and just press it and just keep listening to tape after tape after tape and see if after 63 that Brother Branham, that's when he begins to deal with that you always was. Not that he didn't deal with it back there. He had it in there. But he comes into 63, 64, and 65. Every sermon is about eternal life. Every sermon is about the children of God. Why don't you just read the titles? There's one title after 63. Let's see, I'll think of that in a minute. But there's only, I remember I used to quote it that way. But get the point. Seed's not air with a shuck. Invisible union. Christ a mystery. Christ revealed in his own word. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham used to preach. You go back to your Hebrew series and watch him. He's preaching who Melchizedek was. Go into Hebrew series. He called him over and over who he is, Almighty God. But why would he preach a sermon over who is this Melchizedek? And he's talking about you. Because if you're a part of God, then who is this Melchizedek? Do you notice what he said? Who is? Not who was. He'd always preached one God. Why'd he preach Christ a mystery over again? You know, preached it. Because he brought you and I into it. Notice the titles of the message. He preached at Jeffersonville on a message called The Unveiling of God. He took it through and he dropped it into the bride. But he didn't go quite far. When he gets somewhere out west and he knows he's running out of time, he preached what? The mighty God unveiled before us. Read that and then see if Brother Branham didn't say in there that the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I didn't say them things. He did. Because without him, I mean, without you, he's not complete. See, the new birth is a birth of the word that you heard. Take that word into your heart and let it come alive to you. But Brother Dale, I've always believed I had a new birth. And if I deny, I've got a new birth. Oh, that's a good old Baptist. Come on, musicians, come on. You know what we said in the Baptist? If I deny the Father, I deny the Son. So I can't deny the Trinity. Well, why not? It never did exist. Right? Yeah, you ain't never heard it like that? If we don't do it all them three, we're going to leave the Father out of our salvation. Maybe you didn't, forgive me, maybe you didn't listen back then like you don't listen now. Because your brain is running 90 miles an hour. I'm sorry. You know why I say that? Because when I'm sitting there, I'm doing the same thing. Why don't you admit it? Oh, no, you won't admit it. I just tell you, well, I'm sitting back there. I have to fight going to sleep. Hey, I'm 75 years old. It gets pretty rough. Now, listen. Don't put chewing gum in your mouth, start chewing your gum, popping bubbles. Now, I don't believe in chewing gum in the church. But I ain't never said a word about you putting a cough drop in your mouth to keep you from going to sleep. I'd rather you have the cough drop than for you to snore. Right? Right there, you're crazy. I agree with you. I agree with you. But is it the truth? We're all human beings. And I sit down and somebody starts preaching to me. My wife get on to me at night. See, there's a tape. You're listening and you're going to sleep. Well, I can't have it. I'm 75 years old. If I don't take my midday nap, I'm wore out when it comes to dark time. If I take my midday nap, I'm still wore out when dark's come. But you know what? And I say this with love and respect to her and to all of you. I would never wake her up when I know she's tired and worn out and she's hurting, she's sick. I'll never wake her up to tell her she needs to listen to a tape. That's why I don't beat on you. I'm a human just like you are. I fight sleep just like you fight sleep. I fight demons just like you fight demons. One brother told me one time, he said, I figured out how to fix a tractor while you was preaching. I said, well, praise the Lord. Yeah. At least he figured out how to fix a tractor. That's why I'm not like all these other preachers. I know and realize what it is in life. I've been there and lived it and doing it. That's why I'm not a... You think I'm a dirty, hateful, dotty old granddaddy. It's all right what you think. But just remember that while you're asleep in the night, I'm up walking through the house praying for you. Okay? Danny, may I tell you just like I told Al one time? Al said, I've been waking up every morning at 3 o'clock. I said, you pray for me? And he said, I sure do. I said, wake him up at 2 in the morning in the Lord. When you can't sleep, pray for me. Because that's what I do when I can't sleep. I just pray for people. Isn't that a good thing to be doing? And you know what? 90% of the time you'll go to sleep. Right? Because the devil don't want you praying for people. You go to sleep. So if you want to go to sleep, pray for me. He'll put you to sleep. But make sure you call my name before you get started very far, you know. Okay, let's stand. I hope you follow my point. how that seed come down, because that seed was Almighty God, and come down through Jesus Christ and must come into our hearts by the word being preached. And then it's made alive by the Holy Spirit to bring it to what it's supposed to be. What we got?
323.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Healed, and by his blood we are sealed.
need
to take us home with him to stay. His glory forever we'll sing. And when the last trumpet sounds, we'll all be glory bound up there. We'll live forever and evermore.
Sister standing for her natural sister. She needs faith in you. And Lord, we believe that you can make all things well for your honor and glory. So now in the name of Jesus Christ, we agree with our sister that you're going to go there and you're going to touch her and you're going to make all things well. And you'll stop her negative confession. And she'll start saying, thank God, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Just sing it while they get the prayer cloth ready for their sister. Then we'll mail it to her. By His stripes we are healed, and by His blood we are sealed. Hallelujah. Whatever you got.
Thank God good.
Not God good, huh?
God good.
Give us so many blessings on this earth. That's what we are. Always thank Him. Love and praise Him.
A little more today. A whole lot more tomorrow. Thank God good.
Is it?
To give us so many blessings on this earth.
That's
what we are.
Your health, your strength.
We ought to thank Him. For love and praises, no more today. A whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Right. And that's who He was. See, that's the way the Son of Man is my Father. He was the Word. What is it? Let's see. It is the rising of the sun. Who is this Son of Man? Look at the quote. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who that Son of Man is. He's my Father. Because that was the Father He wanted to be in the beginning. But sin entered the picture. That didn't stop Him. That didn't stop it. He knew what it was going to be and how it would come forward. As the prayer clause went all the way back, we still like just a little bit, okay? So let's just sing one more. What do we got?
My God is real. 229.
Yeah.
Sorry, of course. My God is real.